Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Missional Student Podcast. We are going through a series on missional rhythms, and as kind of a bonus series, it's not going to be me and Phil this time. It's going to be me interviewing a very good friend of mine from Moody. Her name is Rachel Hart, and she is currently working on her master's in theology and delve into a little bit more of this idea of missional eating and the idea that food is important when doing missions. And so the reason I talked to Rachel is because she did her final thesis at Moody about the theology of food. So I was like, oh, who better to talk to about the concept of missional eating than Rachel? Rachel is studying at Regent University in Canada, and she is almost done with her master's program. So hope you guys enjoy this episode. Phil and I will be back again to talk more missional rhythms next week. And until then, tell your friends about the podcast. Check it out. Subscribe, listen to it, check out the Missional Student blog as well. Yeah, so like, subscribe, follow. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that fun stuff. Whatever you're listening to it now on, we're available there. Tell your friends, and then also give us a review, and that really helps with the metrics and getting people to pay more attention to our podcast and get our podcast in front of the right people. So we'll listen to you guys next week. Until then, enjoy my interview with Rachel, and see you guys next week. What first got you onto this concept of like theology of food and like eating as a form of spirituality and like missions?
Yeah. So what first interested me, I was in a conversation trying to decide about what I would write for this upcoming paper I had, and it just had to be on something in theology. And I remember making the comment about how, you know, food, eating must be important because in Genesis, that's like one of the only commands God gives Adam and Eve. He just is like, take care of the garden, eat. And boom, like that is what life is. And the friend I was talking with remarked, yes. And then the first sin was eating. And I just had a little moment of brain explosion. Oh my goodness, this is significant. Why don't we talk about this more? And as soon as I started thinking about it, so many other aspects of food and eating started coming up as I would like read scripture or think about it, thinking about future marriage supper of the Lamb, thinking about eating in the Lord's Supper and communion and all these sorts of things. And so that kind of got me started. And, you know, I also really enjoy food and how it tastes. I like eating, as I think most humans do. And it just kind of springboarded me from there into looking at the importance of, especially when it comes to worship, physicality in our worship. Gnosticism is an ancient Christian heresy that basically one of the things it teaches is that the material world is bad and evil and sinful, and we are trying to rise up to be only spirit. And early on, Christians were like, that's not true. Like, Christ came and had a human body. Like, our bodies, all of these material things, they have significance and they have relevance. And so for me, it has also been this journey of recognizing the importance of the materiality when it comes to worship as well, not just in something eating tangibly, like in communion and the Lord's Supper, but then as that extends outwards too. So that's kind of what got me started and where I've continued going with thought of the importance of what we eat and how that connects to our faith.
How have you found that the concept of eating or sharing a meal has helped with ministry and just being missional?
Yeah. So growing up, I moved around a lot. My dad's a chaplain in the Army, so moved every 3 years or less, spent a lot of time in Germany as a kid. And I think as it relates to my background in that sense, food is deeply in touch with our memories. Being able to taste and sense and smell connects us and grounds us to a particular place and time. And that sort of thing transcends rational thought to the point of tasting, smelling things that you haven't in years will trigger a memory that you had thought was long forgotten. And I think those things have become very significant to me and in helping me shape and form identity and using food to help do so. And especially, most of the time, globalization isn't a good thing, but I would say it is a good thing in the sense of the food that we are able to eat has become more accessible. And so I'm able to eat some of this food that was so significant to me in other points in my life here today. And so I'm very grateful for that. As far as food and hospitality, that was an early thing I clicked upon. And I really began to experience the significance that eating has. First, when I was in Hawaii doing my internship, I started attending this church out there called Christ the Foundation. And every Sunday after service, they had an evening service. We would all eat together. And it was just very natural. Like, service ends, we pray, everybody moves the chairs, sets up tables. We've had the things that we've brought from the get-go. I was a part of that church service, church congregation, maybe 4 months. And it was mostly just Sunday evenings. I didn't do a whole lot extra with them. But the relationships that I formed during that time of meals made me feel more connected to that church congregation than I had to almost any other congregation that I had found myself a part of since moving away from home. And I still can't necessarily articulate why, but just that it was. And I personally think the food and eating together had a significant part of that. Another aspect of what really tied in the significance of how eating together is formative and transformative was I was working with a Syrian refugee family when I was living in Chicago. Me and a friend would go out once a week, and she would help teach English. I would help the kids with homework, and we were just trying to bring relationships about and help them with any transition needs that they might have. And each week, they were very insistent to feed us and to serve us and just open their home and be so generous in that way. And granted, they spoke Arabic. The kids spoke some English because they were in class, but the parents spoke Arabic. Their English was very, very minimal. I had maybe a few words of Arabic. My friend had learned more, so she was able to do some more communicating, but that was pretty much it. And close to the time I was finishing up working with them, their youngest daughter, who was 2 at the time, wouldn't sit with anyone else for dinner but me. And I say that not as like, look at me, I'm so great with children, but more in the sense of we were only there once a week for a couple of hours, but enjoyed eating with them and tried to love them as best as we could when we were there. And this young child, this 2-year-old who doesn't know so much about concepts and ideas and how you act around people, she knew that that time together was significant and our presence there was significant in that time. And I think that's important. So those were the two areas where it really was a part of my experience in connecting food and eating and hospitality, and just kind of through my own story, being able to learn, like, there's something significant here that's taking place. There's an author named Christine Pohl. She wrote this book called Making Room, Recovering Hospitality as a Christian Tradition. I'm a big fan of it. I've used it in multiple papers, but one of the things that she articulates is how significant hospitality is to things like reconciliation as well. And how in eating together, particular groups like churches cultivate identities of families, and that eating together specifically is what does that. She says, meals shared together in church provide opportunities to sustain relationships and to build new ones. They establish a space which is personal without being private, an excellent setting in which to begin friendships with strangers. And so I think that has been one of the driving things for me of continuing to pursue food and hospitality as it relates to mission and ministry. Eating together is a great equalizer. The table is a great equalizer where we can meet with people who are different than ourselves in every which way and take part in something common, the food that we're eating, and work towards knowing each other in whatever aspect that might be.
Even with food, this concept of there's a reason, like, the default first date is a meal.
Mm-hmm.
And most people would rather do dinner for a first date than a movie, because a dinner is, it's more intimate, but it's also less intimate, and you get mm-hmm. to know the person better, because mm-hmm. do you think that the church has lost something as it has, the American church specifically, has lost something as it has stopped doing potlucks?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And even, I would go so far as to say that even in doing potlucks, if you're not making your own food, granted, I don't want this to be a legalistic thing of, like, you have to make your own food and that's the only way to serve God. No, like, life is hard, life is busy, you got to do what you got to do sometimes. But Americans in general have lost something in cooking less. And I think the church feels that in eating together less in potluck form, and then in the potlucks that we are eating is food made by some machines that are faceless and nameless, and there's really no connection there. So yes, I definitely think there's something lost there. And I would also like to say that in places that potlucks are still being offered, like, my first thought, because I lived in the South a lot, is the South. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that classic Baptist potluck after church, fried chicken, potatoes. Best. And it's a very limited view. Like, it's still good. And I would rather you, like, eat together than not, than eating alone. I think there is something really, really important in eating together. But in eating together, part of that includes holistically viewing that, which means having a holistic view of health to our bodies and a holistic view of food and how we interact with it. So where it's coming from, and are we making it ourselves and helping to create a dish, or is it, has it been purchased? And along those lines too, this is another point I got from Paul, is the other thing that church is kind of known for when it comes to food is, like, soup kitchens and that sort of thing. And Paul really challenged me in this book when she was talking about that, because more often than not, we come to places like, the soup kitchen, and it's much easier for us to serve those who are in need than it is for us to actually sit down and eat with them. So it's a lot easier for us to say, like, oh yeah, of course, like, we're providing, like, a soup kitchen for people in need, or we've got a food pantry for the homeless, or we're doing this for the refugees in our community, and that is great. But if you stay behind the lines and don't actually sit down and eat with those people, you're still distancing yourself, and you're missing out on a really, really incredible opportunity to be missional in that moment. So I would say that the church has lost something there, and would really encourage people to go one more, not just to stand behind and serve a spoonful of corn at your next soup kitchen, but to then get a plate yourself and sit with someone who is different than you. It's going to be really uncomfortable, because that's part of it, but I don't think the uncomfortability should make it any less worth doing. And if anything, it challenges us to go there all the more.
Yeah. And just, there's something, like you said, you know, there's something equalizing, but there's just something profound about sharing a meal with someone. Mm-hmm. Like, I think back to when I've met people who have become, like, my best friends, it's always been over, like, a breakfast mm-hmm. or a lunch. Like, I remember when I went to the MK to MK trip for the first time I met Josh Schumacher, who was yeah. my roommate. Okay. So we mm-hmm. I flew in late, got there really, really late. Woke up to Josh getting ready. He's just like, the way Josh is, like, hey, going to breakfast. And so then I walked in, and I knew nobody. And mm-hmm. all of these people had been on projects with each other. They were all crew MKs, so they were all, like, doing stuff together. And some of them were, like, old friends. And I just knew nobody. I just came off. I was like, do I even count as an MK? Like, I live in the U.S., that kind of thing. Like, but I just, like, sat down and had breakfast next to – I was like, well, Josh is my roommate. I should probably get to know him. I just sat down next to him, and we were just talking. And mm-hmm. Now Josh Graham and I are, like, all three super great friends, and, like, mm-hmm. it's just, and Katya and the same, and, you know, it's just, and it all spawned from that one, like, let's sit down. And yeah, And I think the aspect of sharing food is mm-hmm. also big. I want to talk to you a little bit about, I think there's something deeper about, say, a small group going out for lunch and mm-hmm. sharing appetizers mm-hmm. Than there is for each ordering their own plate.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Now, to bring it in, to be a little bit more theological, because I'm in seminary right now. This is my life. I agree. I think there is something really significant at my school. So I'm currently going to Regent College in Vancouver, BC. And we do chapel every Tuesday. And following chapel is soup. There are people working in the kitchen and they make soup for us. And we all go and eat our soup and are a part of soup groups to help form community within the school. And it's everyone, students, professors, faculty, staff. Some people come in from across the street to get soup. They're open to coming to soup groups, but or they can just eat it and go. And it's that same concept of we are sharing in one bowl right now. We are all eating together from the same pot of soup. And there's this really like deep sense of we're building community in eating together. The other thought I had with that is a bit more theological is, again, communion. Regardless of whatever your view is of the bread and the wine, in recognizing that Jesus says, this is my body broken for you, this is my blood shed out for you, we are all sharing in the one body and one blood of Christ. And I think that's really, really significant in how we understand communion as well. Even if there's just the sense of remembrance, at the same time, it is this deep unifier, and it should be not just within a congregation, but also in recognizing every Christian who has ever partaken of communion is sharing in that one body and one blood of Christ, as we are the body of Christ. And yeah, that's significant for us being a church family to recognize that like we are sharing in one and the same with the people I can see that I'm sitting next to, as well as Christians halfway around the globe, as well as the Christians in the early church. We're all connected to each other in the sharing of the one. And I think that's like really beautifully reflected in like what you were describing, a small group that shares an appetizer together. It's small way that we can use to remind ourselves of this deeper truth and this deeper reality. And so anytime like your mind is thinking of things like that, I say yes, like it's pointing to this greater reality of who God is and who we are and how we are to live in the world. So,
and even with that, like I'm a big proponent for family style meals, just mm-hmm. always. That's why I love Ethiopian food. I wanted to get family style meals for my wedding, didn't necessarily work out. Because there's also like this concept of when it's family style, like it's not just you. You have to think of the other as well. And that's why, you know, like sharing apps, like there's one last thing and you want it, but someone else might want it. So I'm not going to take it. And yeah, I just like, as we're talking this, I feel like it's this idea of like communal eating is outside of just like sitting with a family's best represented in hot pot. Yes, like just that, and that's something that's so foreign to a lot of people in the U.S. Hot pot mm-hmm. is when it's an Asian tradition where you just get a pot of boiling water in the middle of a plate, and you order a bunch of raw vegetables and meats, and you just dump everything in, and you take out as you dump, you take out as you need, and then you dump more, and you just create like just smorgasbord soup.
Well, and I really like the illustration of hot pot too, because then once it gets into your bowl, that's where you can jazz up the spices too. So it's this like really beautiful picture of unity in diversity of like we are all sharing in this one pot together of delicious food. And at the same time, I really like things spicy, and I know you can't handle that as much. So in my own bowl, I'm going to spice it up a bit. And at the same time, like we're still sharing in the same soup. So yeah.